Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right, this is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, and producing the outdoor show this morning is Jake. And sponsors today, CCA Star Tournament, Texas Insider Fishing Report, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather today. Right now down on the island in Galveston, it's 73 degrees. And for today, overcast with a high of 77, southeast winds 15 to 25. With higher wind gusts, they could be possible. But tonight, becoming more windy with cloudy skies and looks like a low of 72, south-southeast winds 20 to 30. And then for tomorrow, cloudy with gusty winds, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible with a high of 77. Winds will be south-southeast 20 to 30. Boy, how do you like that? All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a high at 7:29 a.m. this morning. It's a 1.7. Then a low tonight at 11:43 p.m. It's a negative 0.1. So looks pretty much like a standing high all day long. Current conditions, right now the Galveston Channel is showing 72 degrees down there with a 75.7. Let's just call that 76-degree water with a south wind at 8 to 11. And at Eagle Point, it's 72 degrees with 74-degree water, south winds 10 to 13. And Morgan's Point, it's 70 degrees with 74-degree water, east-southeast winds 7 to 9 miles per hour. Barometric pressure at all stations is holding steady at 30.02 inches. All right, let's head over to the Golden Triangle area, and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what's going on the Sabine scene over there. Good morning, Bill. How are you, my friend?
Hey, buddy.
What's
life
up?
Is good. Life's good. We're catching fish, but it's kind of like the water's dirty, okay?
You think?
Yeah. You have to just make believe that you're fishing in clear water and throw the lure out there, and the fish will comply. Not to say that it's easy, but the fish will bite. You know, you just have to know what you're doing. So we caught 6 trout and 4 reds and 2 22-inch drum on Monday. Mm. And believe it or not, we threw back about another 23 trout or 24 trout, and they just wouldn't quite make it. They wouldn't even quite make the Louisiana limit.
Right.
I mean, 11 and a half to 12 and three quarters.
Yeah, those are one-year-old fish.
One-year-old fish. Where they came from, I don't know. Saturday, we caught just nice trout. I mean, good ones. Most of them were like 16, 17s, good fish. And those fish went somewhere. I have no idea where they and they abandoned that whole area and took off. And, you know, I don't know where they went. And that was on a falling tide. So I'm not sure. And then we probably caught another, on Tuesday, we probably caught another 25 trout and kept nine. Which was, you know, that was okay. And four more reds and a couple more black drum. And had lots of action all 3 days, lots of action. Just weird how it all worked out. Saturday, we lost at least another 12 good trout at the boat. And I was the chief offender. I couldn't get them in the boat, save my life. I don't know what the heck was going on. But, you know, you have days like that that they don't bite real well. And, you know, you hook them up. But literally you could see down 3 to 6 inches all 3 days.
Right.
That's how dirty the water is. And, Tuesday, I ventured into the lake and went all the way around and all the way over to the Louisiana shoreline because we had a south-southeast wind that day where I could actually, you know, get to that area. And it was dirty from one end to the other. Same color of water everywhere. See down about 3 to 4 inches, 5 inches.
Even on the lower channel and all that, it's cloudy too.
All of it,
boys.
Yep.
We've seen that before, but, you know, it's a different animal over there. I remember back when I fished over there quite a bit back in the day, and I couldn't believe some of the putrid water I was catching fish in.
kind of like
Trinity Bay gets, and, you know, those both the lake and Trinity, they fish very similar in a lot of ways. They do. You know, just... And, boys, it gets warmer like this time of year in, you know, May and June. It's topwater central. They just go crazy over noisy, raspy topwater baits in that dirty water. They'll come get it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's a strange thing. But we did not throw topwaters any of those 3 days. But I think if we had, a friend of mine called me and told me he had a real good day on topwater. Mm-hmm. In the dirty water, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, I'm not surprised, but.
Well, it depends on your crew, too. You know, you got 3 or 4 guys in a boat, and, man, you got to trust them and know they're really good fishermen for everybody to be slinging them treble hooks everywhere, man. Get pretty hairy
true.
In the boat.
It gets
All it takes
hairy.
Is one bad cast and somebody's day is ruined, man.
Yeah, that's true, because them hooks are going to get you.
Oh, Lord, they will, won't they?
Yeah. Well, we didn't, you know, the guys I had were not that proficient, but, I mean, they could fish, and they could fish that jig and soft plastic, you know, K-Wiggler 4-inch ball tail, and put that on there, and you could either use something with a yellow tail, the Texas roach or the glow with a yellow tail, as long as it had a yellow tail on it, they'd find it. That's amazing how fish can feed in dirty water like that, but they have no problem finding a lure.
if fish couldn't feed in dirty water, they'd all starve to death half the time.
They'd all starve to death. That's right. So you have to just kind of make believe that the water's clear in your mind. Get yourself straightened out, believe in what you're doing, and throw it. And if you don't get bit after a little while, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, move, because they're not there. And you just stay mobile and keep looking, and you find them. And, you know, Monday we caught two or three or four trout in a spot, and then we'd move. And we'd catch none at the next place. And the next one we'd catch two, three, four, and that'd play out, and we'd just have to move. And finally we started doing a round robin, you know, just keep going back to the same places.
Yeah.
Wait an hour and go back. And there'd be two or three more to backfill. You burn a little bit of gas that way. I mean, that's kind of, it wasn't quite the school bus pattern, you know, drive a mile and pick up one or two. But
right.
It was it was a little bit better than that. But then the redfish, I mean, we found those feeding on a bank with a lot of current. And they were coming up out of the ship channel and busting shad. And they put on a show for us. That was really fun. The guys enjoyed that. They didn't bite every time you threw in there. But if you kept hammering at them. And, I mean, it was close range fishing, too. We were sitting probably 40 foot off the bank and just pitching it in there and letting it drop off that steep bank. And
right.
There was a little bitty eddy current in there that had those bait fish all balled up. And when that tide got to going out real good, oh, man, those redfish would come up. Some of them would be 30 inches and some of them would be 22 inches. You know, they were really nice redfish.
Yeah, good mix. You bet.
Oh, yeah. And those son of a guns would come in there and just blow those shad up, scare them to death. And there was a few little mullet in there, and they were really picking those off. And in that dirty water, they couldn't see it coming. Man, that was interesting. I've seen that lots of times, but it's real subtle. You might see a bird or two on the bank picking,
mm-hmm.
and they're working on those shad or pogey or whatever that's there, glass minnows too. And
right.
There was a few little baby shrimp that were jumping in the air, you know. And I could tell, I said, okay, y'all just sit here and watch a minute. Keep your eye on the shoreline right there, right on that shell bank, and watch. And directly one of them said, hey, look at that redfish tail sticking out of the water. And then directly he exploded on those shad. I said, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Here it goes. And well, we started catching them. And we threw a couple back because they were like 33 inches and stuff. But,
well,
man,
some of your reds are starting to get big over there too, aren't they?
Oh, they've been that way. It's
yeah,
hard to find
them.
They all
get like 38 to 42 inches. Oh, man.
Oh, good grief, man.
We got a bunch of that up my way. It's nasty, man.
Yeah, that's hard to deal with. And
yeah, on trout tackle, when you're light tackle fishing, it's a different animal, especially when all four people in the boat are on with one of those.
Yes.
It can get pretty hectic.
That's like a fire drill, man.
Yeah, you just, hey, whichever way your fish goes, you go with it. Don't stand in the front and try to reel him over the back. Go to the back. Chase him around. Because invariably,
yeah, it gets comical.
You know, once you get them up close to the boat, they're going to sound on you, and then they're going to try to run the other way out the other side. And best trick, really, in the book is just to stick that rod, you know, all the way up to the almost to the reel down in the water and pull straight back, and they'll do a 180 and come right out from under there every time.
Yeah, that's right. You got to put the rod down in the water when that happens.
Just turn them around.
Yeah, and hope they don't get on the motor.
Right.
So it's better to handle those fish on braid.
No doubt.
20, 30-pound braid, that's ideal. And, fairly stiff rod, not a broomstick, but something you can actually handle. And even a spinning reel. I got braid on all my spinning reels. And you can get a hold of them. You know, I've got mostly 200 to 300 size spinning reels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where you can throw a quarter ounce jig head real good. But, you know, medium action rod and 20 to 30 pound braid, and you can get them out.
Good combination. Yeah, you can muscle them up pretty good with that. Hang on, Bill. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back, buddy. Well, the 35th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament, that's right around the corner. That'll start Memorial Day weekend. It'll run all the way through Labor Day. And it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Get signed up early. Take advantage of the early bird specials that they have going on for early sign-ups. You can sign up today, take advantage of over $1 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. With all the tagged reds being released in Texas waters coming up, that gives you all that to fish for, plus other species inshore like gaff top, drum, and sheephead, and offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. All you have to do is go to startournament.org. That'll give you all your info for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament, it's brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star, Hawk Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers, just to name a few. Again, go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222 and get signed up today.
Country past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line. The joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we're back. We were talking about, catching redfish on light tackle, moderate tackle, however you want to look at it.
Yep. You just put the braid on there. And if braid works perfectly on spinning reels. It's like a marriage made in heaven.
It's a must have. There's no sense fighting mono on spinning reels with all the
wind knots
and land twist. And I mean, if somebody knows how to properly use a spinning reel, they can avoid a lot of that. But when they jig up and then they drop that rod tip with that little bit of slack and they reel that slack, that causes it. That makes a lot of problems. With braid, you can eliminate a lot of that.
Yeah, that's true. And braid doesn't coil off the reel as bad as mono does.
No.
If you get a loop in that braid, you can see it and clear it, just ease it out there and clear it. And, get it reeled in, get that loop out of your line, and avoid all the problems that spinning reels give. And other than that, it's just like you say, wind knots and stuff like that. But mono will do it to you also. And then you don't have, you usually have to use, on small spinning reels like that, you have to use a lighter mono to make it work right.
Yeah.
And you can't hardly even feel your lure. But you put 20-pound braid on there, 30-pound braid, and it just flies off that spool. You can cast further. You can actually outcast a bait caster with ease if you got it set up right. And, man, it'll just fly off there slick as a gut. And that's how you can get one up on those big reds. You can reel them in. And as long as you don't put too much pressure and break your rod, the line will handle it. And I always use at least a 15-pound fluorocarbon leader. I probably could get away with mono too, but I got a spool of leader line that I use, and it's 15-pound test. And main line's usually 20 or 30. And whatever I can get on sale. but either one works just as well. Now, on my personal spinning reel, I've got a 10-pound Power Pro Slick 8 line. I can throw that thing plumb into the stratosphere.
10-pound diameter?
Yeah, even my 10-pound test. And you wouldn't even believe how strong that stuff is. You can overpower a 30-inch red without any trouble. I've tested it many times, but that's I've just got that set up where I can really reach out there. If I'm drift fishing in the wind, I can throw that thing a mile. I mean, it goes and goes and goes, and that gives you lots of casting distance where you can work the water.
Yeah.
But mostly I use a bait caster most of the time. But that being said, there's some situations where I pull that spinning rod out. I've got it set up with a Laguna 7-foot, and boy, that and I've got a lose like a 300. I forget what reel that is. It's an inshore lose, one of the white ones. Boy, that thing will throw. Oh my goodness. There's a lot of good spinning reels out there. You know, Shimano makes a good one, but you don't have to spend that kind of money on a spinning reel. You can get just one that, you know, a $50 spinning reel, and when it wears out, just throw it in the trash and go get you another one.
Yeah, you can get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You really do. It's a lot of people go, man, I can't believe you'll spend that much on a fishing reel. I said, well, it works all the time. It never fails. And, you know, it just, you get what you pay for. I mean, it's just better quality, better wear, smoothness, everything.
A guy showed up in the boat the other day with an H2O Academy reel. That was like a $80 combo, and the reel, he said, was $50. And that thing outcast everything I had. But I told him, I said, well, what's going to happen is it's going to wear out. In 6 to 8, 9 months fishing in salt water, it'll wear out. But boy, right out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get that long. Right out of the box, those things will fly. But, you know.
What was it?
An Academy H2O reel.
Yeah.
I can't remember what type it was, but he said it was a $50 reel. Rod was $30 and the reel was $50, and he outcast all of us. But, you know, I'm going to get at least 2 or 3 years out of those fine 13 fishing reels I use. Before they finally go out, you're going to get some time out of them.
I've got some of the old original C's that they got to be 5, 6, 7 years old. I don't know whenever they first came out. Still hanging in there. And they're, you know, they're the Gen 1s. They're not even the Gen 2s.
Yeah. Yeah, the C2 is really a fine reel.
Yeah, that C2's, I got a couple of them that are holding up real nice. And and some of the TXs, you know, that kind of seafoam green looking one. I've got a lot of miles on them right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. I believe you could take those reels in freshwater and use them for 10 years.
Yeah, I've got some of their freshwaters, that E, and those are really fine, those gray ones. And, boy, they will chunk a country mile.
Yeah, those are really
They're made
good
for freshwater, but so far, people gripe and complain about reels, all different brands, but if you don't take care of them, they're not going to hold up for you. You can't just throw them in the back of your truck or leave them in your boat while you're pulling down the road and letting all that dirt and grime blow into the reel. Then the first mistake they make when they get off the water, the first thing they do is go to a high-pressure water hose and spray them down, and everything, all that salt corrosion or any kind of grime or anything, that ends up working its way into the reel itself. And they don't oil them properly. They use too much oil on them. If you don't have the, you know, the sealed bearings, just one drop of really good oil, you know, like X1R or whatever you like to use, is plenty adequate. But they'll over-oil them, and then they wonder why they won't cast as far. And it doesn't take but just one drop of that oil.
And that's it. One drop.
That's it.
And the Achilles heel, I don't know how we got off on this. I guess it was my fault. But the Achilles heel.
It's a good conversation. People need to know this.
Of any bait casting reel is that anti-reverse bearing or whatever you call it.
It's like a cog in there that catches.
It's under the star drag.
Right.
It's on that main post.
Main drive gear.
And boy, if you let that get dry, that's going to be the ruination of that reel. You'll notice it start binding. It starts getting hard to reel in. It still casts like crazy. But when you notice it binding, reeling in, you already waited too long. And sometimes if you go right and put some oil down that post, but really that's supposed to be grease on there. But I never have time to pull all that apart, take that side plate off, put everything. I mean, that takes an hour to get all that stuff apart and properly put the lube in there, you know, and it needs to be a heavier grease so it'll stay on there. What I do is I just take the cap off, take the star drag off, and run some oil right down that shaft. And if I do that, and that's a chore in itself. That takes you 15 minutes to get all those little screws out and all that stuff. And you got to be real careful how you put the washers back on there. Be sure that it comes off the way that it goes back on. And get you a little oil down that shaft, and it'll work into that bearing, and you'll be okay. But
yeah, you turn the handle, it'll work that oil down that shaft right to that spot you're talking about. And keeping the handles, you know, where you hold your thumb and your index finger on there, turning the handles, put just a little drop of oil behind those, and they'll spin smoother. And I can't stand fishing with a reel that's rough and not smooth. You know, you just get
no.
So.
I've got a Gen 1 C-reel that I really need to send back in to the factory. I've messed around. It's probably 4 or 5 years old. And I let that thing get bound up on me, and it's got a little rust in it. If I'd send it back in, they'd make it like new again. That's all the part that it would take.
Yeah, they'd go all the way through it. And if they can't fix it, they'll just send you a new one.
I think that's about, $50 to send one in? I had two of my orange ones redone.
Yeah, it's not much.
No, not bad for considering the cost of a reel.
Right.
But, I had two orange ones. I sent them in to Florida, I think I did. And,
they sold out now to Rapala or
Rapala. Yeah, that's right.
Bought them out. So they'll be up around, I guess, in Minnesota or wherever up north.
Yeah, I don't know if they've still got that place down in Florida that works on them or not.
I don't know. I really don't know that. I can't answer that one.
Nope, I can't either. And I really need to research it out because I've got a couple of reels that really need to be sent in, and totally well worth the money if you can, if they even do that anymore. I guess they do.
I'm sure they do.
Because that's, $50 versus $200 or $300.
$300, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's hard to believe how expensive things are now just to go catch
it. It is.
Catch a trout or a red.
Yes.
or a greenfish, a bass, what have you.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, the technology that they put in those reels was really, really good 20 years ago. I mean, Shimano made some reels back in those days. 1991, I've got six Corrado 200s that have been in service since 1991. I fished them bass fishing forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then I converted them. I come down here, I converted them to customer bait casters. And I have one of them that's broke and the other one that's running rough. And you're talking since 1991, and I put them in service as saltwater reels in 1999. They don't make anything that's like that anymore.
Yeah.
They figured out that they had to have a service life to that stuff so that they could sell more reels. And they keep changing the style and making them prettier and smaller and this and that. But they've moved away from what was so fine about those reels. You just couldn't wear them out. And I rode mine on the deck of the bass boat, dirt jumping up out of the deck and everything else, had them strapped down up there on the front deck. And those reels went through all of that. And then now they're still working. I've got four of them out of the six that are still working perfectly.
Yeah.
That's just hard to imagine. But they've moved away from that. So nobody makes reel that lasts that long.
That's, you know, I got some of those old Chronarch MGs.
Oh, yeah.
Still like butter.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Just, that I just quit using when all this newer stuff came out. I'm sure I could go back to those and still fish and catch fish with them, but it you just accumulate too much stuff. And I give reels and rods and stuff that I've had for years that are still perfect, that I give them to kids, you know, that are starting out and that need a good bait caster and something light. You know, their parents go buy them stuff, and it's just it's overkill. So you can't throw lures and do what we do with this broomstick stuff and they actually, the stuff they buy would be adequate for catching bull reds or offshore fishing, you know, light, and you don't need all that for bay fishing. I mean, it's just the lighter the better, you know. It just you can cast more with it, don't get all wore down, and you can catch anything that swims out there with it. You know how to fish.
Yeah, I much prefer the smaller frame reels because my hand is not that big. And I can wrap my hand around that. I palm my reels, of course, but you you can hold on to them better.
Exactly. All right, Bill. Well, I've got to run, my friend. Enjoyed the conversation. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, because they will bite, even in dirty water.
That's it.
409-673-9211.
Or fishabeanlake.com.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Bill, have a good day. Good talking to you. Thanks for the info. See you, man. All right, that's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. You know, folks, if you want to know the latest and greatest in fishing, tune in to Texas Insider Fishing Report. That's Thursday nights at 10:30 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest, or you can find it on Space City Sports. The show will give you a fresh fishing forecast before the weekend, so that way you can spend more time catching fish. And Texas Insider, they break down the state into six regions, three freshwater for bass and crappie enthusiasts, and three saltwater for the guys who want to catch trout and redfish inshore, and tuna, wahoo, and marlin offshore. So join Dave Farrell, Bree Gabrielle, and my friend Captain Rick Murphy to know what's hot and what's not every Thursday night at 10:30, Fridays at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest or Space City Sports. Check it out. morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 440 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Conroe and check in with our good friend, the fish dude, Mr. Richard Tosh. Richard, what's up, man?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good, man. You sound a little catfishy.
You know it, dang it.
Here, boy, kitty, kitty.
I guarantee you, them rascals have been on fire now. I mean, they are just going off like crazy. I mean,
I know a friend of mine came up there with a couple of his buddies, and I think by 8 o'clock they had 75. Just boom.
Yep. I mean, it is crazy. They're eating right now like nobody's business. I mean, and the small ones are kind of disappearing a little bit. I checked out a different spot yesterday, but for the most part, I've been catching all my fish off of one spot. I mean, I've had, well, Sunday we had 121, Monday we had 150, Tuesday I was off, I think. Yesterday we had 125 off of there, off the same spot. It's like, good night. How many fish can be on one spot? But there's a bunch of them.
And then got stood up on a bass fishing trip in the afternoon.
I know. I'll tell you what, that's what's crazy, because they called, I think it was like the end of last week, saying, hey, we want to go fishing. And then gave me the day, and I said, well, I got the afternoon up, and we can go. And then the knuckleheads don't want to show up. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
I mean, at least give you a call. I know. I'll tell you what. At least give somebody a call if you ain't going to make it. I mean,
right.
It just doesn't make no sense. And I always wait around. You know, a lot of people say, why are you waiting around? Well, they're supposed to be here at a certain time. Something might have happened. They might have got delayed in traffic or whatever. But I hang around about an hour just to make sure. And then, you know, when they don't show up, I just go put everything up and head to the house. But, it is what it is. I mean, some people just, they don't think about others very well. So, I mean, it's not like this is something I just do every once in a while. This is something I do all the time, you know, and that's what gets me, is they don't think about it, you know, because that's just like a few weeks ago, I had a guy on a boat. He goes, how do you make your money? I fish. No, how do you make your money? I fish. It's like, yeah, he thought I had a job or something. Well, this is my job. I fish.
Yeah, that's, you know, full time.
So, right. I mean, people don't realize that. You know, granted, it hasn't always been full time. I started out, and a lot of people, you know, they don't understand. I started out part time, and you know, you get a lot of times. That's what you got to do. You work two jobs. You fish, and then you work another job too. Because I guarantee you, when you first jump in as a fishing guide, you ain't gonna make it. I mean, it's just,
well,
it's,
I did
hard
it years back, and I wish I'd have done it differently. Boy, I thought I was gonna starve to death those first 2 years.
Oh, I guarantee you, it takes a little while to get established. And once you get established, everything's okay. But man, the first few years, you're fighting tooth and nail just to make it. And hopefully you don't have any issues with your boat, because if you have issues with your boat, then that might put you back to where you can't even go, you know. And that's what's crazy. So as like last night, I had a guy call, says he wanted to take his kids and stuff, and he goes, oh, I was looking for a cheap trip. I said, well, I am cheap. I'm probably about the cheapest on the lake. And he said, oh, I was looking for cheaper than that. Well, you ain't gonna find it.
No,
I mean,
get what you pay for.
That's exactly right. Because I heard some guys get off this other fellow's boat, and I ain't gonna mention his name, but they got it off his boat yesterday, and it's talking about $100 a pound. It's like, good.
Whoa.
Night. So
yeah,
I know. So they didn't do very well. I mean, even though. I asked them, I said, well, how many did y'all catch? There was like five of them on the boat, and they said we had 20 crappie. Well, I mean, that's, believe it or not, that is not bad, you know.
No, not for Conroe. That's about right. If they want to meet all crappie, they need to go to a different lake.
That's what I tell them. I mean, you need to, if you want to meet all on crappie, you need to go like Rayburn's a good lake to go to. Toledo Bend's another good one to go to. I'm pretty confident Somerville is pretty good, but I just, you know, I don't know. I've not been over there since the 80s, so I couldn't tell you. And then Limestone up there around Mahia, there's some up there too, you know. And I'm not sure, but Richland used to be a really good lake for them also. But Conroe, you know, I've talked about it so dang much. It's, you know, just so many people fishing for crappie during the spawn on this lake, especially during COVID. It just knocked them back. I mean, it's now granted, we got the various sizes that are out there and stuff like that. So they're going to make a comeback. It just may take another year or two for them to come back and get back in pretty good shape. But right now, anything from 15 to 20 fish in a half a day, that's for crappie that's really good. You know, I'm hoping to get more than that because I've got a few crappie trips coming up that we're going to be doing. And, you know, typically April and May are the best months for them anyway. So, you know, because they gang up out on the brush piles and stuff like that, you can catch the heck out of them. But it is what it is. I mean, Conroe does not have the population of a crappie in it like what most people think. You know, so many people think, okay, I don't want to really go catfishing, but I want to go crappie fishing because it's better than catfishing. You know, they got it in their head that they can catch thousands upon thousands of crappie, and it's, I don't know why. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, sure, you could catch a whole bunch of them out here. But that was way, way back. That's all changed, man.
Ago. That's, you know, with the grass carp situation and the loss of habitat and the pressure. I mean, a lot of combinations.
That's exactly right. But I guarantee you these catfish, they don't care. So they're gonna keep on trucking. That's morning we're going to.
You get more bang for your buck out of catfish, too, if you're wanting meat. I mean, and there's nothing better eating than a Conroe catfish.
Oh, my gosh, no. They're the best on the planet.
A little 2-pound yellow cat, fillet it out, and deep fry that little booger. Yeah. There ain't nothing better.
I guarantee you, there ain't no doubt about that. That's like them knuckleheads I had out there Sunday and Monday. They said, how many people you get that goes on a meat haul? I said, well, y'all for sure. Because they know what they're doing.
Well,
you know,
if they're going catfishing, that's what they're going for, is a meat haul, man.
That's it. I mean, that's what you do. You can fill up a freezer with them catfish pretty quick. There's just so many of them out here, you know. I mean, it's crazy. But and then like I say, today we're going to hybrid fish and catfish too. So let's see if hopefully I can get them hybrids to act right pretty quick this morning, and we'll jump on them catfish and wear them rascals out. So I'm ready anyway. Just see what happens. So, and the wind ain't bad this morning either, so that's even
no,
a bonus.
It's down this morning. They're calling for it to come up and really be breezy for the weekend tomorrow and the next day. So,
yeah, that's what I was hearing.
Cranking
winds, hearing
that. But right now it looks good.
Sweet. But I love it.
But it probably will come up by the afternoon around here, you know, along the coast.
Oh, you know, it always does. And then about 8, 9 o'clock tonight, it'll settle back down. So
I can't believe how that wind fell off last night. I was watching that Astros game. Yeah. I got another Astros hangover. Until they win, I don't think I'll get rid of this hangover. But I went outside and I go, man, look how this wind just fell off. It got dead calm.
Yeah, because it was blowing pretty good yesterday evening late. You know, that's what I was seeing on the news, especially down there around y'all. You had some pretty good, like, 20-plus mile an hour gusts and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're around 6, 8, 10 across the board this morning right now, which is doable.
Just enough to keep it right. That's the main thing. Keep everything right. Keep the bait moving.
But the weekend's coming, and, hey, tournaments. And you're going to fish a tournament.
Yeah.
You're going to have to endure the wind.
That's it. There ain't no doubt. You know, just hang on. That's the main thing. Be safe out there no matter what.
You got that right.
I guarantee you, hanging on is the way you just going to have to do it. I mean, it beats the heck out of you, but do what you got to do. You know, tournament fishing, I get people out there all the time. they want to go like bass fishing, for example, and there's two different modes with me. You bass fish to kind of recreationally do it, like on a guide trip. And when you tournament fish, it's a whole different ball game. It's wide open from start to finish. It's mental, physical, and I guarantee you, you don't stop and you make every cast you can possibly make in a day's time, and you don't slow down. You know, that's one thing. After a lot of tournaments, I'm just mentally exhausted just because your mind is so focused on one thing. And then the physical aspect of it, too, because as soon as you take that boat off a pad, you're jumping up on that front deck getting ready to go. So there's no slow motion, that's for sure.
You're still, I guess, basically fishing with your stink bait, you know, on a small treble hook.
That's it. I use like a number four treble hook, and sometimes I'll go to a number six, but for the most part, it's a number four treble hook, and get that Primos, you get it at Walmart or Academy or even Bass Pro and Cabela's, I believe, carry it, and it's just a dipping type bait. Now, I mix it with this other bait called Mr. Whiskers. Now, Mr. Whiskers, though, I'm going to have to break off it. They've gotten so dang expensive, I can't hardly afford to do it. The reason for the Mr. Whiskers is because it's got this cattail fiber stuff in it, and I mix the two together, so it's really convenient. You take a stick, and you just kind of poke it down in the bait, cover it up, drag it out. As you drag it out, it grabs those cattail fibers.
So it holds it all together.
Pretty good. Yes. I used to use sponges, and that's what I'm going to go back to is using sponges, because I can buy a package of sponges for like a dollar and punch them out. I got a leather punch and punch those things out. The only problem with them is catfish on Conroe, their teeth are so sharp, about every third fish, you got to change sponges, which means you cut and retie. But it, no big deal. I mean, just do what you got to do. I did it for years that way. And, you know, because typically what I was doing on the Mr. Whiskers stuff, I'd pay $100 for a 5-gallon bucket full of this stuff. And it lasts me, you know, I go through 2 to 3 buckets a year. And then they gone up for $175. Yep, for a 5-gallon bucket of it.
Golly, that's a lot.
That's a lot. But then they went up to $175 for that same 5-gallon bucket. So it's just, and for something that I'm just mixing with another bait, that just gets too costly. You know, I mean, as a guide, you try to do the best you can to make sure everybody catches fish, but you got to pay attention to your money you're spending also. You know, that's one of the tough parts about it. You don't want to be a miser, let's say, but you want to kind of pay attention to it, because you'll spend way more than you're making. You know, it's like this year in January, I went up on my prices about $50, because a sack of cattle cubes, which is what you bait the catfish with, is you know, they went from $10 to $15 for a 50-pound sack. So it's you got to cover it somehow. I mean, there's no way you can keep eating it. And that's, if you keep trying to eat it, you're just gonna go broke. You ain't gonna be able to fish. Ain't gonna be able to repair your boat. Ain't gonna be able to get new tackle. I ain't gonna be able to do this or that, you know. I mean, you gotta have line, you gotta have tackle. If something happens to the boat, you gotta be able to repair it. Things like that. Trolling motors, you know, dang trolling motors they went from $1,000 to $5,000. You know, it's nuts.
But, yeah, I had a listener called or texted me wanting to know how you freeze your catfish.
Always in water. Some people vacuum seal them, but my problem with vacuum sealing is most of the time that vacuum seal leaks. So
yes.
if you put them in a bag full of water, or just put them in a bag,
burp the air out of it.
Water, yep, burp the air out of it. It'll taste just as good 2 years from now as it is today.
There you go.
I mean, it's just amazing how well it holds it.
I've tried every way there is, and there's no better way than freeze it use freezer bags, freezer Ziplocs, and put them in there and put the amount of fillets you have in there for a serving, however you fry them or cook them, and fill them with water and burp the air out, lay them flat where there's no air pockets in there, and then just stack them flat in your freezer and Ziplocs.
That That's exactly right. That's the way you do it. You know, I've gotten to where I put a, you know, like my wife and I go, we take about a pound and a quarter. So I got me some of those little scales that you can use in the kitchen. You know, they're not very expensive. I think 20, 30 yeah. bucks at Walmart, and put a pound and a quarter in there and we're good to go.
Well, there you go. All right, Richard. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing with you coming up to Conroe, how they get a hold of you, bud?
Well, make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Richard, have a good day. Catch him up, man. See you.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Thanks. All right, that's the Fish Dude up on Lake Conroe. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.